Oh, Audacity. Oh, the Audacity.
You bother updating Audacity? I haven't updated it in the past year.
Wow.
It's fucking Audacity. What's the need to update it? It's been tried and true since 2000.
What are we recording a rap album here?
When was Audacity like the thing that everyone went to?
While ago.
Why the fuck are we getting a Skype call sound? What is this shit?
Oh, the fucking her. She's got the soundboard.
No. I'm actually going to solemnly request no soundboards during the episodes.
I'll stop there.
I was trying to tell you
that you were ready to get started with the Skype call sound.
Yeah. Somebody on a server I'm on, that is their one soundboard thing.
What, just to sound like something's being interrupted by an outdated computer call?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
I guess so.
Pretty much just to fuck with you. Like you expect
is that Skype?
You expect to hear like the Discord sound notification, and then you're hearing Skype and you're like, why did I just travel 10 years back in time? What the fuck is happening?
Like, it sets off like a triggered memory of like, wait, where am I? What, when am I?
Who's the president?
That's really is disorienting.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Is everyone recording?
Yes, we just covered this. Are we recording?
Jay, are you recording?
Are we recording? Are we getting the sound waves? Are we getting sound waves on our computers?
I think we're recording.
Okay, cool. Bridget, are you recording?
I am recording.
Okay, cool. I'm recording.
Evie. Okay, good. Thank you. I was just about to ask if you were recording. Evie.
Jay.
Yeah.
Are you recording?
She already asked me. I'm recording. Bree, are you recording?
I'm not!
Oh, God!
What reviews connected by cast or crew deciding the next film, that's the gist. Put it on the list.
I was trying to say, Evie, I saw somebody sound... You can sound mod Demon Souls, but it's very difficult.
That does sound like something you would do, so I'm glad someone's at least made the headway on figuring it out.
I like that you say something like she would do.
She was modding sound effects into shit. It's funny.
That was my implication. You said it as though she hadn't already modded sounds into various Souls games
before. The fact
before.
That she did is why it sounds like she'd do it, though. It's so her. It's so in vogue.
Also, I like that she is like, hey, Evie, as if like I am the target audience for it. Just like, I'm not gonna play Demon's Souls and install sound mods into it.
That's like saying, hey, Bree, Dueling Banjos is coming to Portland. Like, I don't fucking care. What are you? The Renaissance men are coming to town.
I'll be happy to watch you stream it.
I also re-downloaded Time and Eternity.
Oh no, why did you do that?
Speaking of Eternity, today...
Are you that depressed, Bridget?
I found a New Game Plus save file. That may make it not 30 hours.
Don't. I'm just gonna kindly tell you, don't. As your friend, as your girlfriend, don't play Time and Eternity. Don't play a mediocre JRPG that has the worst aesthetic choice it could possibly have.
Well, it's not the worst aesthetic choice. It's just misguided.
The most unpleasant is, I think, how I would phrase it. Like, well, something
next
that's
you're
designed...
gonna tell me Virtual Highlight is unpleasant.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Put It on the List, the queer movie podcast, where every week or two or three, or depending on when this comes out, we always connect one movie to another via cast or crew.
We're not talking about the thing. It looks like Bridget has something to say still. What are you going to say?
Time and Eternity has a Yuzo Koshiro soundtrack, so it's good.
You can't keep using those arguments. We've had these kinds of disagreements before.
Well, there's no disagreement. That game's bad.
You said
a good
I can't
soundtrack
say...
doesn't make a game good.
You've said that I can't say that Toki is bad because I'm good at it. That's not how the world works.
That's I don't remember saying that, but I believe I would say
you
that.
You did. Let's say I was recently rewatching some streams that Bri and I did where one of us, me, played through Toki Going Ape Spit. And I remember some of the commentary that you had that you were putting out there. I'm holding your feet to the fucking fire on that shit. Anyways.
Toki's fine.
Hi. I'm Jay.
I'm Bri.
I'm Evie.
I'm Bridget.
I like how they know who's who by you pointing at the screen.
That's me signaling to the next person to go.
Well, it's not going to be the same on your screen because it's like you're over here.
But it's the same sequence every time.
Yeah.
I guess.
And me pointing me pointing at the camera to say, like, go.
It's always Bri and Jay and then me and then Bridget.
For one day we're gonna switch it up and fucking turn this whole game around.
And then we're just gonna be like, ah! And the whole world's gonna fall apart and there's gonna be a massive fucking, like, earthquake and everyone's gonna die.
Hold on. Bri is currently like a child that just ate a bunch of fucking sugar because she watched a movie that's so spiritually, like, ingrained itself into her being. The topic of discussion today is going to be Freddy Got Fingered. I can't hop raw dog into Freddy Got Fingered after we, like, just watched that movie. So instead...
I understand. You wouldn't want to jump to the sausages. Show. I
mean,
I...
You already introduced the show! Well, what do you mean?
You interrupted me, and then you were like, oh, there's this other thing. And I was like, I don't know.
We've done the introduction. The introduction's done.
Yeah, the introduction's done. They know who we are. They know you. You're Jay, I'm Bri, that's Bridget, that's TV, and everyone wins. Okay.
Bridget, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say we can't jump straight to sausages. We can't raw dog it.
No, we can't raw dog it. I need to delay for time even more so. Evie, how's your week been?
It's been whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine it's feeling even more whatever after the last hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, just. After spending a week of being like, man, I wish I was anywhere but where I am right now. And then you watch Freddy Got Fingered and you're just like, you know what? Actually,
I'm gonna go to work today.
Actually, you know what?
My life is okay
right now.
It's all right.
Now. Maybe Portland ain't all that.
Bridget, how's your week been?
It's been fine. I played all the way through Inspector Gadget Mad Robot Invasion. Evie got to watch that too. Really, Evie has gotten to enjoy the best week of entertainment content she could possibly have.
Time dilation is hitting you hard this week, Evie.
Some week, we're going to have a week that's just shit Evie likes. It's gonna be Evie's time. But that's not this week and that's not now.
No. It sure ain't. Bri, how's your week been?
My week's been good. I have been working on a new VTuber model, and I've started this. I got anxious looking for $500 and went, fuck it, I'll learn to rig myself. And it's safe to say I have a new toy. I've been having fun messing around with that software, and I feel like I'm getting it. So.
Oh, that's...
New career prospects for me.
I'm so happy to hear
I'm
that.
I'm an animator.
Look at you go. Not only are you an illustrator, you're an animator.
I'm an animator.
Now. Good for you.
Yes.
My week has been fine.
That's
I don't
good.
Have too much to... I got to watch you play some of Gex the other day.
Oh, yeah.
It's a perfectly fine game.
No.
Perfectly fine.
It's not.
It's perfectly fine.
It's not. No.
We literally just talked about this 5 minutes ago. No.
I made an almost actionable threat at myself while playing it for the first time the
Bridget,
other week.
Bridget, your ground floor is fucked. Your ground floor is below sea level. You are not a fair arbiter of what qualifies as bad anymore.
Honey, you need to reset your tolerance.
Yeah, you
give yourself a tolerance break.
You have smoked too much weed, and now you need to, like, take an entire pack of edibles to, like, feel anything. You have to reset your bad game tolerance so you can know that Gex is not a good game. That is a bad game.
It's not very good.
Anyways.
Anywho's.
Are y'all ready for some icebreaker questions?
Let's talk, so let's hear some questions.
Okay, who do we start from? Here's a nice one to get our minds away from the experience we just had, you know?
Yeah.
Recenter ourselves in the world.
Okay.
Hexagon Witch over on Blue Sky, which actually, speaking of which, put it on the list, bsky.social. We're over there if you ever want to get notifications on when new episodes go up. I don't know. Usually the notifications happen at midnight because I'm a freak who, like, doesn't edit before I need to go to bed.
We don't know how social media works.
No, absolutely not. And you can find us where all podcasts are sold. Hexagon Witch on Blue Sky asks, what historical event or person would you like to see a movie about that currently doesn't have one?
That's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Crap, I would have to think about that one.
Yeah, Evie, Bridget, either of you have something that would come to mind?
Tommy Tallarico.
Okay, in that case, to elaborate on that, what is the style of movie that you would want to see that be presented in? Are we talking like a David Fincher Social Network type movie about them?
I'm kind of thinking more on that line, like a story about how somebody like basically powers and fakes their way into.
I'll say, if it were possible to actually get like the hard real truth on like the story of Tommy Tallarico, then I do think that would be incredibly fascinating to see something like that. I don't have one off the top of my head.
You know, I gotta be honest, probably something that would be along the lines of like a documentary for someone like, I don't know, like maybe like Thomas Dolby or Cell Dweller, one of those very just kind of, they have a fascinating past and there's like a million things to see develop in their life as they come into who they are.
Uh-huh.
So, like, probably just something like that, a documentary that doesn't exist yet. That's just, like, kind of a bio piece of, like, their actual, you know, experiences. Might be fun. But definitely something music-related. I am insanely music-brained.
I might edit this answer out of the podcast because I don't know what the movie would entail. January 6th?
Yeah.
I don't know how one would present it, but I feel like that one is ripe to be like an incredibly dark comedy. If it weren't for the current times that we are living in right now, I think that a movie about January 6th could be a fantastic, like, just black comedy.
There are things to be learned from it, and it wouldn't be contentious at all.
Just like, yeah, I don't know.
I feel like, yeah, I think I get what you mean. Like, I think like an Armando Iannucci In the Loop style comedy would, yeah, I think that would be interesting.
Like, you get a little bit of like the lead up to the event happening of like all these people like trying to like seriously plan a coup, all the people in their lives telling them like that's a bad idea, like he's like everyone trying to like actively demean it as they rightfully should, and like the people thinking that they are the righteous ones here, the event finally happening and it somehow turning into like a guided tour through the White House that somehow eventually ends in like the main character getting shot and dying, or like falling from too tall of a height and dying, however it was that the people that passed away during that did. I think that could make for a good punchline at the end of the movie.
And then like a 15-minute segment that's just like workers inside of the Capitol just feeling like pants shitting terror, like as it goes on around them.
They're like the side plot as it keeps going back into them working out their tiny little food rations back there, going, is this ever gonna fucking stop?
Yeah, that's the one idea that immediately came to mind for me, at the very least.
That would be a fascinating and topical piece. Like, there's things to be derived from a historical event there. So, yeah.
Speaking of, on Blue Sky, not to go fully off topic, but last night I finally had to, like, just find... I have become the true centrist. I have hunted down both the Republican and the Democratic block lists on there and just been like, okay, don't show me shit.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it. Like, the reason I don't discover anything on there or do any real browsing is just because, like, I'm sick and fucking tired of hearing my own people talk. Just stop talking about it.
It's not even my...
Did you say Schick's Hydrobot?
What? Almost like accidental non sequitur. Just
yeah. No, I'm not even talking about my own people. I just mean shit libs.
No, yeah.
That's all I'm talking about. Anyways,
does just anyone Bridges else Warren have Association them? Shorting out and being like Schick Hydrobot?
I love that guy.
That was so good. Did you see his Super Bowl commercial?
It was so cool.
I loved it when he was at the Game Awards.
Yeah, he was at the Game Awards.
Bring him back, Jeff.
Bring him back. Fucking Jeff trademarking the video game awards.
Does the Schick Hydrobot suit jack him off? Does the Schick's Hydrobot suit jack him off?
Yes.
Does the Schick's Hydrobot suit jack him off?
Master Chief comes.
Moving on from that question.
We do need to get through this.
No, I'm going to be delaying talking about this movie for as long as possible.
Can 9/11 be recreated in Legos? Can it be a Lego movie?
I would watch a movie about Magnus Hirschfeld to give an answer to that fucking question. Now we can move on.
Okay.
Wait, as someone that is not a big history person, genuinely, who is Magnus Hirschfeld?
I don't know.
Yet. Magnus Hirschfeld is a psychiatrist part of the reason I watched the movie is that, like, I'm not the tightest on his history, but he ran a during the Weimar Republic, he ran a clinic for the study of, like, basically he did a lot of study about gay people and, like, people who we would recognize now as trans people. I believe, like, he was one of the first people to popularize the use of the term transvestite. And so, like, he was very, like, one of the people who, like, who was, like, a live-in, like, cleaner for the clinic was the first woman to get, like, a vaginoplasty. He is an interesting figure in, like, the study of, like, you know, gender and sexual minorities.
Interesting.
In the,
I mean, yeah, that all laid the groundwork century. For my hardware, and it looks great, so thank you to her.
Bridget, did you have an actual answer to that? Oh, wait, no, yeah, you said Tommy Tallarico.
Yeah, she said Tommy Tallarico. So,
and then I sorry, said, we just all want to forget Tommy Tallarico.
Like a Lego movie.
His mother is very proud.
Oh, well, the question wasn't asking for, like, a different style of 9/11 movie. It was an event or person that has not been depicted.
Oh, already. Not been depicted. So, okay.
Yeah.
A few things have brought up 9/11 before, briefly.
Yes.
It's not a very important thing, but some people are like, you know, oh, this thing. It's like, oh, you're getting in on it while it was hot, you know?
All right. And then we have a question from Cybird over on Blue Sky, who asks, is there a comfort YouTuber that you always come back to? For me, it's Todd in the Shadows, One Hit Wonderland, and Train Records can always be found playing on my screens.
Oh, man.
I don't have, like, YouTubers specifically. I have, like, Twitch streams that I tend to go back to if I'm looking for, like, a really, like, lackadaisical thing like that. Like, Wayne Radio TV, Vinny Vinesauce, Wooly Versus, and Northern Line, but that's kind of it for me.
Sure. For me, it's very much like, similarly, just gaming people that I've watched for years and years, or, like, I don't know, like, Kick the PJ has a very relaxing voice. Sometimes I'll throw him on and watch him do some new boring thing and go, yeah. Watch this Englishman do some stuff and just, like, kind of zone out and go, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I'll listen to Micropop in the background of this calm man speaking with the Nintendo stuff behind him, and I just, like, everything just you know, I'm not really paying attention, but my mind is at ease.
Hmm. Either of you two?
Yeah. I really enjoy. It feels weird to plug a channel of someone who is like, I guess, my friend at this point, but like. I think the channel 80% Relatable, Two Queers Play, is very good. It's a very good video book club. And also, I also really enjoyed the work of the generic Irish YouTube man, or the generic Irish PlayStation man, Sean Seanson, who does... a lot of videos about old PlayStation games, and he has a very cool editing style and a very pleasant voice to listen to. Oh, and also there's a Twitch streamer called Sasquatchulous who's pretty good. I really enjoy her streams.
She's really hot. Stuff. I want to collab with her, but she's just too unapproachable, you know.
Sasquatch. I mean, sorry, Bridget. Do you have one?
I mean, part of the problem is like. A lot of the, like, YouTubers I do watch just don't put out a lot of content. So it's like, I really love Defunctland, but it's like, it's a video every few months, if that.
Though I admit, I similarly enjoy their work, so I see why. I love little factoids for things I'm never gonna need to know.
I occasionally, depending on what it is they're streaming, look at Vinny Vinesauce. Obviously, I regularly watch the Retro Pals, and we'll catch up on their streams if I...
Look at all these people we have, like, not taken the time to work with in, like, way too fucking long. It's been a bit. We gotta talk to our friends. Anyway, go ahead.
Obviously I enjoy, remaps content, you know, occasionally, streaming a sex game accidentally because of GeForce Now.
What are they forcing?
Ba-dum-bum.
You wouldn't know. It's bad. 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 Abort. You don't want that game. It's bad. It's bad.
Okay. Not sharing the name of it here.
Yeah, so you can look at their previous stream if you really...
There's some bad elves.
There's some bad elves.
Like, I like elves. I think elves are cool. You don't want to fuck with these elves.
Here's the thing. Elves are inherently sexy. Sexy elves have ruined elves, though. Like, it's...
What
it's
are
an
you
entire,
talking about?
Like,
what? Please explain.
I'm saying,
what the fuck do you mean?
I'm just saying, like, elves as, like, a sexy elf. Picture a sexy elf. You've just seen every sexy elf picture ever. Like, it is... It,
okay,
it's such
and
a,
here's
like, homogenized...
Bree's racism towards elves. Don't worry, there's plenty of stories about that, too.
Yeah, I love Dragon Age.
I'm saying they've been marginalized into a one very stereotypical, very, like, super whitewashed kind of cis woman fantasy... For the most part, that becomes this homogenous white paper sort of fucking
this
boring
whole
thing.
Bit is getting edited out of the podcast.
It's why AI art is thriving, because everything's just become this stupid fucking, like, homogenization of this is the thing I want.
Bree, you're not even getting into the problem with dark elves.
We are moving on from this topic.
Moving
on.
What's
about
the next question? Is Shrek circumcised?
No, let's talk about the Underdark.
Yeah, let's talk about the Underdark. Have you heard of somebody named Deedlit?
Okay, last question, because this icebreaker session went off the fucking rails, just like the thing we're about to talk to in a minute.
You're gonna talk to him?
We're matching the energy of the movie very well.
Okay. So, last question is from Owen, dear friend of the podcast,
Shout
Owen, and it's actually about the movie Freddy Got Fingered tangentially.
Ooh.
In response to my announcement that our next episode is going to be about this, Owen responded, asking, some of the worst people I knew in school were obsessed with this movie. What film would you consider to be red flags if someone told you it was their favorite movie?
Fight Club.
I was about to say the same fucking thing.
Wow.
The fucked up thing is, like, it needs to be in, like, a context. Like, if it is like a bro dude who is saying that Fight Club is their favorite movie, yes, massive red flag. However, if they are like a normal person or like a queer person and they say like one of their favorite movies is Fight Club, that's like less alarming. It's all about the fucking context that they say that in.
I do feel like more often than not, though, if you can appreciate the actual nuances of that and what it is actually saying, then you've probably seen it done better in like any other media.
Do you have an example that you would point to?
No, but it's not my favorite movie, so I don't have to. But I'm saying, like, it's not, I understand, to my knowledge, it's not an original concept, nor is it the best to do what it's done. You know, the whole, like, oh, it was you the whole time. You know, I don't know.
Well, the issue and why it's considered a red flag for some isn't that. It's that it's a movie that is about toxic masculinity. And it's a movie that, unfortunately, a subsect of people do not realize is about toxic masculinity. And they simply look at Brad Pitt in that film and say, oh yeah, that's awesome.
Well, then along the same lines for me, it would be The Punisher.
Wait. You gotta be more specific. Which Punisher movie?
Any of the Punisher movies.
The Punisher as a concept, I think, is what Bree is saying there, which, yes. I think that is a fair one.
First of all, I do not believe the Punisher logo has been co-opted. None of those people have ever read Punisher stories.
That's the point.
Bridget, literally said that this shit is about the context.
But they wouldn't say their favorite movie is The Punisher. I guarantee they've never seen
Thomas Jane. Okay.
They've never seen a Punisher movie. Does not count.
Ray Donovan.
They would say their favorite character is the Punisher, though.
Yeah. The Punisher is in Marvel Superhero Babies or whatever it's called.
If someone says their favorite movie is Boss Baby, I'm not.
That's a massive red flag.
That's huge.
Like that.
I'm getting suspicious Boss Baby vibes from this response.
Like, here's the thing. I have less like movie red flags as I do like movie gray flags, where it's like if someone tells me that like one of their favorite films is this thing, it's more of a like,
why?
Not even a why, but like a
explain yourself.
No, it's not even a want for explanation. What are you doing?
I'm responding to the fact that I was wrong, and I'm waiting for you to explain the thing, and I'm listening. I'm giving you noises that sound like I'm listening.
You don't have to give me noises. I know.
All right. Seriously, don't have to tell you.
Go on.
To restart, it's less of red flags and more gray flags because I hear that it's their favorite movie. I'm like, huh?
Out of all movies, that one?
Yeah, that's the one that does
it for
you. Okay,
what are your gray flags? I want to hear some movies where you'd...
We have a podcast talking about movies. We're so knowledgeable.
Okay,
she's the one she said...
Let me throw some movies at you. Would they be gray flags? Okay, Lady Hawk.
You mean Lady Bird?
No, Lady Hawk.
I don't even know what that is. If I'm being quite honest with you.
Okay. The Last Unicorn.
No, I want to hear what their reason is for that one. That's one that's more of a like question mark flag. Like, huh?
I have a friend who would say that The Last Unicorn is her favorite movie.
The Last Unicorn is a good movie. That's not like a... If somebody told me that, I would be like, oh, nice.
Throw more at me, Evie.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
That would be weird.
Yeah. I would be like, why that's... Like, I would be more, like, confused at why that specific Spider-Man. Like, if you're already picking a not Sam Raimi Spider-Man, I would just be like, but specifically the one nobody likes is...
All right, Avatar.
Question mark. That I need to investigate the person.
The Blue Man Group or the two live actions?
I would I would say The Last Airbender if I was talking about the Avatar, The Last Airbender.
I thought you were talking about The Dances with Wolves.
No. I knew she was talking about The Last Airbender. That one would be a question mark.
I don't think that's anyone's favorite movie.
But that's why it's a question mark for me, because I'm like, tell me more.
Give us some examples of what you're talking about.
I'm sorry. You're holding my feet to the fire, and I can't think of them
right
now.
She's given some.
Well, you gave me The Amazing Spider-Man, and that one would be a red flag one for me, where I'm or a gray flag one where I'm like, yeah?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
That Nightmare Before Christmas is a gray flag one, where someone tells me that's their favorite movie, and I'm like, really? Yeah.
No, but like, if someone told me that was their favorite movie, like, I would understand. Because it's like...
Yeah, you like that aesthetic that much.
It's a very singular artistic work.
The gray flag is hard to explain. It's not so much
what
that
if they
I don't...
liked Battleship?
No, let me...
What if Battleship is their favorite?
Let her finish, Bridget. Let her talk.
Let me finish my fucking sentence.
I thought I'd be the chaos agent today.
It's less that the gray flag is specifically, like, I don't understand why you dislike it, but it's like a step below judgment, where I'm just like, yeah, like, I get it, but it's like, really? That's in your, like, tops? That's what you're putting up there?
So this is you saying, oh, that shit's corny, but not like wanting to say that.
If somebody says
the live action Lion King is their favorite movie.
That's like on the border. That's almost there. That's like at that point, if someone told me that live action Lion King was their like favorite movie, I would say that they are lying to me.
Like, I would think that they just don't like movies.
Yeah, I think they were dragged to see a couple movies, they remember that one and they go, that one.
Like, that's the type of shit where they say it to me and I'm like, you're fucking with me. Shut up. What's your actual favorite movie?
Okay. So with that added like explanation, yes. Star Wars, A New Hope.
Maybe A New Hope. Like, I think episode 4, episode 6 are the ones that might be like a gray flag. Empire Strikes Back has enough acclaim to it that like I could believe that. It's like, yeah, sure. I'm sure that's a great sci-fi movie. I have not watched it. I can't speak to it.
Yeah. I feel like any of those, like, there's, like, a whole, like, class of, like, movies that people watched as kids and they, like, never got past them.
Yes.
Like, if someone told me that Raiders of the Lost Ark is their favorite movie, like...
Or The Goonies.
Jaws. 100%.
This might be divisive for some people. Jaws would probably be one that if you told me your favorite movie ever was Jaws, I'd be like, yeah... You sure?
Fun fact, the last podcast I recorded had a movie by the director of Jaws 2.
Oh, fun facts.
I still hear people from like our eras talking about like, oh man, yeah, like the movies I grew up with. I love Sandlot. And you go back and watch these films and you're like, this is a film about sugar.
Who is out there saying that their favorite movie is The Sandlot?
I love Angels in the Outfield.
Bridget, stop. Let her talk.
I came from Arizona. It is the worst place in the world with the most boring milquetoast fucking idiots who think that anything that they do matters. Sorry, damn. Arizona, you suck.
Damn.
And like, it is just a breeding ground of no culture. And I have met the most milquetoast, boring fucking, like, that's the thing. It's the kind of boring that's proud of itself. You know what I mean? That's the worst part. It's not just, yeah, I'm just simple. It's just, no, bullying. Actually, they're the kind of people who would be like, Bobby's World was a good show. Have you watched Bobby's World, sir? Have you gone back and watched it for more than 5 seconds?
Bree dropping, like, the hottest bombs in this opening section.
I love trying to discern whether or not Bree, like, whether or not these are like conversations that Bree has actually had, or if it's just like Bree made up a guy in her head to get mad at.
No,
the Bobby's World, that's a real one. I know that's a real one.
For years is the thing. It's kind of a connecting glue.
Oh.
Well, hey, let's get started.
Yeah. So
Freddy got fingered.
Last episode. We talked about a fantastic movie in Collateral. Just a great, great example of cinema, and Bree decided to take us to Freddy Got Fingered.
Bree sure did.
Tell us what Freddy Got Fingered is about. Good luck.
Oh, Jay is leaving. Freddy Got Fingered is a fascinating film where someone No, Bridget, get back here! No, you are not allowed to- We are on hold until you both get back. You are not spared of this. No one's allowed to do this.
You know,
we're waiting.
Yeah, you got this. I'm taking my phone. I'm taking my box of English butter toffee, and I'm just
your English
I'm just
butter
piece.
Toffee stays right here. I'm not doing this alone. You can no. That's not the deal. That's not. The podcast doesn't continue until everyone's here.
Okay, we're all back.
Freddy Got Fingered is a wonderful little film about basically the embodiment of an ADHD person, the one and only Tom Green, who was given a ton of money to make a film, and it seems like his making that film was entirely a prank against the fact that the industry gave him money to make a film. The way that this goes is it opens up as a... almost teasing of at being like kind of a skating centric movie, almost with him kind of skateboarding.
No, it doesn't.
The mall.
It does not.
That doesn't open with that. That's right.
It does not open.
It
with
opens
that.
Up with it illustrations opens... and being acted out by this man.
Okay, you're not actually gonna try to do a fucking beat by beat. Like,
no, I'm
summary.
Not.
Okay, I'm just.
I don't really know how to describe the movie. It's, like, the first thing to, like, genuinely do what we know as internet, like, overload humor. Where it's like, I don't know what to do. My brain can't process this. What is happening?
That, I can 100% agree with you on that. But detrimentally.
Uh-huh.
Because, at the very least, anytime after the first time you watch this movie... it is less a funny movie and more a series of inexplicable events that your brain has no time to process.
And
it's just shit happening. It's just shocking shit happening or dumb shit happening, and you have to be like, all right.
Listen, I knew what bits were coming. It hasn't been long since we last saw it. I was still laughing my ass off. I'm probably going to continue to quote this movie even more now. Because I was surprised that it held up as well as it did. I think that, like, this is one of those films that when I was, like, a teenager, everyone loved it. And those people sucked, right? But, like, when I was their age, if I had seen this sooner, I 100% would have been a mark for this shit.
Look on Evie's face right now. I wish this were a video podcast to capture the contempt I could read off of Evie's face.
Well, then let me ask, Evie, what's your problem with this movie? What bothers you about Freddy Got Fingered?
I mean, like, fuck you for making me try to explain it. Like, try to explain what's wrong with this movie.
You know,
like,
this is a podcast, right?
That's a fair point, actually.
It's just like...
What's first laid out... on the ground floor. This has been a very contentious episode of this podcast so far. We're all still friends. Things have not changed.
It's still technically the friendship arc, yes.
This is the fourth time I've seen this movie.
Fourth?
Why have you watched... Okay. First we need to let Evie do what... if she has an explanation, do an explanation. And then we need to fucking examine what you just said. Bridget, but Evie, go ahead.
I don't know. This movie, it's kind of there's some funny parts in it, but it's just like I'm like looking I'm looking for the exits like within 20 minutes of this thing starting. Like it's just
to recount the first time we watched this movie. There is a scene that takes place in a hospital where Tom Green helps a woman give birth.
Help.
And, yeah, help in the biggest scare quotes imaginable. And he cuts the umbilical cord with his teeth. And he's swinging the baby by the umbilical cord.
Spraying blood on the lady who had just given birth and everything behind her.
At this point in this first viewing... Evie asks how long how much longer do we have? And I tell her, we still have an hour of this movie left. And she simply yells, how? And it's also at this point that Bree stands up and has to take a walk around the block because this movie was, like, giving her a laughing panic attack.
Yeah, kind of a, like, I shouldn't be laughing at this. Why is this so funny? I'm freaking out at everything that's happening, and I can't, like, keep up with what I just watched. And I took a lap around the block, and we continued. I didn't need to take said lap this time because I knew it was coming, but it's still, it's a scene. It's definitely a scene.
So, while Bridget, for the people listening, Bridget has walked away, so we can't examine her statement of having watched this movie four times now. My question for the more normal people here, is this movie still even shocking on a second watch? Because I don't think it is.
No.
I think that to me, as someone who enjoyed watching Freddy Got Fingered the first time that we saw it, is the biggest detriment to this movie and, like, points to it having little to no value beyond a first-time watch.
For me, it made me laugh. I didn't have the shock value anymore, but it did make me laugh. So the humor was still there, but without that, it's a different experience, hands down. Like, you gotta go in raw. Like, you gotta go in, like, just knowing virtually nothing and just hit play on this and watch a million plot beats start up and go fucking nowhere and, like, let it rot your brain. This turns on my inner 12-year-old. I don't know what it is. It's just so fucking funny to me.
But here's the thing, and I feel like, Evie, you can agree with me on this. Like, you said this movie is kind of funny, and I agree. But it's only kind of funny. There's parts of it that have, like, actual jokes. But the majority of this movie does not have actual jokes. The majority of this movie is basically jokeless. Like, you more or less are on the same page, yeah?
I think I am. I feel like watching this movie for the second time in, like, a year or something like that, it's like, it went by quicker. I didn't have that same, like, I didn't have that same time dilation as much, but, like, it also made it more insufferable because it was just like I already knew everything that was going to happen. So it's just like I see all the ways that the stuff doesn't, like, fit together. And I said it while we were watching it this time, where just, like, everyone talks like there's a gas leak in the room. And, like, it is occasionally funny when they do that, but sometimes it's just like, we couldn't think of a way for someone to say this naturally, so we just have them say it in the most, like, declarative statement way possible. And it's like, yeah, it's just...
I think it has, like, a certain dreamlike quality in that regard, where it's, like, a very surreal kind of, like, I don't know, I'm sucked into this bizarre world where this shit can, like, be read naturally. It's like seeing everyone be a little bit off is, like, I don't know.
Here's the thing.
It works for me.
But here's the thing for me is, like, it's funny that you say that you didn't feel the time dilation as much this time, Evie, because I was feeling the time dilation, like, so fucking strong this time around that, like, any time that, like, actual jokes or, like, the truly shocking things that happened in this movie were happening, anytime outside of that, I was on my phone. I was just like, I can't be in this right now. Even the people talking like there's a gas leak happening. Because them talking like there is a gas leak is supposed to be the joke throughout the entire movie, that, like, everyone, instead of having natural human dialogue, is saying, like, I bought you all these jewels. I spent all this money on all these jewels.
Like,
the way they are just all matter-of-factly saying the thing that they did in the scene and the why they did it in the scene. Like, they're saying these sentences like a first grader writes, like, a diary or something like that.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself is a funny concept, it's not funny enough for sitting through an hour and a half of it. Like, it's funny when he swings a baby around his head and starts declaratively saying, "I saved the day," as he's being escorted out of the hospital. Outside of that, it's not that funny.
I don't know. That's the thing. I get what you're saying. That's valid. I don't understand
don't give
why.
Me that bullshit.
I don't understand why all of that is what works for me. It just, there's something about this that, like, and you know, this is a detriment to the person you married, but I there is something about this movie that feels like this is the inner thought process in my processes in my mind that I filter out to seem half normal to the world as a whole, just to seem like a normally functioning human being. Yeah. There is, like, something about the, like, uncontrollable ADHD brain that just over-enunciates and explains things as if you're going to have an argument with someone that's never going to happen over and over again with a million dumb fucking ideas that you're never even going to put pen to paper on. That's, I feel a kinship with that that disgusts me, and I love it.
Bridget, you have something to say, I can tell.
I'm just so happy for Brie that she's brave enough to say that in her heart of hearts, if she sees a horse with an erection, she would just jerk it.
Okay.
I never said that.
First of all, let's talk about the funniest sequence in this movie. Oh, yes. The funniest sequence in this movie is easily the beginning of it.
Yes.
Like when he is leaving for Los Angeles. Nothing is funnier than that. That is the biggest, like, knock against this movie is it blows its fucking load in the first 5 minutes.
It blows its load like a horse at a stud farm.
Like a horse at a stud farm.
Or an elephant.
Because it opens up with, like you were describing.
He's gonna be a cartoonist. Yeah. He's doing he's looking at his illustrations. I think this is where the angry beavers came from concept.
It's
because
not.
He's looking at two beavers yelling at each other and going, "Oh, this one's always mad."
That show had debuted by the time this
movie show
had
debuted at that point.
Oh, so it was a reference to it. That's deep.
Shut up. Okay, so you know he gets to the bus depot and like he's gonna go down to LA to be a famous cartoonist and. Like
it's a Portland film.
It is a Portland film, sadly. But his parents supposedly bought him a bus to Hollywood. Yeah. And then they Rip Torn, who plays his dad, stops him and saying, like, "You're not getting on that bus to LA." And instead it's that they bought him a fucking car so he could drive down to LA. And you know, they go back and forth being like, "I'm going to make you proud, Daddy." He's like, "Yeah, you're going to make me proud.
Make your daddy proud.
Proud.
Proud. Proud.
It's like
proud.
A...
Proud. Wait. Proud.
It's like a proud. YouTube poop
I'm gonna,
joke.
Wait. I'm going to go make it in L.A., Daddy. Starts
Get the fuck out of
my way! Get the fuck out of my way!
You skipped over the best part of the sequence, which is like... Tom Green's character has a brother named Freddy who, like... is there also and is like jealous about the fact that the parents bought him a car.
Yeah, why'd
like,
you buy him a LeBaron?
It's like it's because I'm their favorite.
I'm their favorite child, Freddy.
I don't see two LeBarons, Freddy.
Where's your LeBaron, Freddy?
And then they get into the car.
They do the proud, and then he takes off after that very heartfelt. Proud conversation and then slams on his horn and screams, "Get the fuck out of my way," to someone who's in front of his car.
Random passerby. And then it immediately goes into him jacking off the horse and the movie loses the plot.
No. He goes.
It does.
He heads
it does.
North. He's going to LA. Sorry,
like,
he's heading south.
There's a needle drop for Cars by Gary Newman as he's driving his car.
Cars by Gary Newman starts playing. The OST, the soundtrack of this movie is really great. There's a lot of punk music. You got Sex Pistols. You got Gary Newman.
The next thing that happens after he leaves Portland is he stops at the fucking horse farm
Let me
to
set
jack
it up.
Off the horse.
Him doing that interrupts the needle drop. That's what. Yeah, that's why it's funny.
The plot gets started. It's like, okay, he's going to be a cartoon. Whoa! He screams looking out his window because he sees a horse with a huge cock and feels the need to screech his tires, rotating his car, runs out and starts fucking jerking it off, going, I'm a farmer, Daddy! I'm a farmer!
I just saw that I've been recording for an hour.
Yeah!
Time dilation sitting again.
Leaving and wasting time?
Much like... Freddy got fingered.
I know where some of that time came from. Okay. Anyway, the point is, that doesn't work for any of these three. For me, I don't know. It's just incredible.
I've seen this four times. What are you talking about?
Okay, now that you're back.
Yeah, that's right.
Bridget, we need to examine. Why the fuck have you watched this movie four times?
You've watched it two more times than I have.
First was when it originally came out.
What? Did you see this movie in theaters or
did you see this?
Okay. Describe to me you seeing this movie for the first time.
I didn't remember it.
Like, was it on VHS? Like, after it came out? Like, how many years after that movie came? Because what? You would have been like 13.
I think rented it or something.
This was very coded in mystique for me when we first saw it earlier this year, because that's the thing. Every annoying, like, shitty teenage person I knew talked about, like, you know, having seen it when I was in school. And by that association, I was like, I don't need to see whatever this shit movie is. I didn't even know what the fuck it was,
Bridget,
or what it was about. But then one day you threw it on, Jay, and I was like, I'm different now. This is new for me.
Bridget, you look like you had something to say in response to Bree's story there.
I'm just admiring her unique upbringing where people saw this movie.
Everyone saw it very young. Again, Arizona, lost cause. Point is,
I'm in Florida.
So let Bridget continue. She hasn't finished running down seeing this movie four times. What two of those came from. It was today.
We can account for three of those viewings.
Yeah.
What was the second time that you saw them?
The second time was with Zach Birchie when he showed it. And that's the one where it's actually sicked out in my head. Like, when you all watched it for the first time, I was like, I was just waiting to see y'all.
Okay.
You were going to gauge our reactions. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Hey, everyone, it's the return of the Jay DeSalle list. Returning from the Weird Al biopic, it's time for the top five grossest things that Tom Green does in this movie, because I have nothing fucking else to talk about in this movie.
Go for it.
Number five, we got coats himself in the viscera of a dead deer.
Hit by a car and then...
Jacks off a horse / elephant.
Like, those are the same spot.
Number three, cuts the umbilical cord of a newborn with his teeth. Number two, lick his friend's broken bone that is ripped through his skin. And drum roll for the number one thing, grossest thing Tom Green does in this movie, falsely accuses his dad of molesting his brother.
And then jumps
out
the window.
That's one of the biggest punchlines of this movie.
And then literally jumps the movie the window, is named after it.
Yeah, and then he a very late title drop. And then he jumps out the fucking window to the Clockwork Orange scene, we realized.
Yes, so like the end of A Clockwork Orange, like when, what's his name, like jumps out the window after having gotten like the treatment done on him, when he finally has like a full fucking breakdown. It mirrors that shot. One of the most memorable parts of this movie is Tom Green saying, he's a molester! A child molester!
You didn't like the backwards man, the backwards man.
Backwards man, backwards man. You always laugh at that too. That's a good one.
Here's like the one other thing that I have to say. Okay. How many people on this voice call were like aware of Tom Green around the time that like around his like height when this shit like came out?
I'd only heard reference to him.
Evie?
I knew of him. I never watched any of his stuff.
Gotcha. I feel like your enjoyment of this movie is going to be based whether or not you think Tom Green is one of the most annoying human beings on the planet.
Yeah, you need to be able to. Here's the thing, and this is why I understand at least why this doesn't hit for you.
I don't think that's fair.
Understanding why this would be annoying. If it's not annoying but funny to you, that's the thing. It's an annoying to funny scale on how this reads to you. If he's annoying as shit to you, I get it. I'm annoying as shit to some people, and I don't even reach those heights. But it is like, I don't know. I see.
Bridget, why don't you think it's fair, Bridget?
Well, like, people growing up on him is like vastly different, because that's a totally different age range than me currently. Like, I'm not gonna go back and watch Tom Green videos.
Well, no, I'm just speaking as someone who was aware of Tom Green at the time, and back then thought he was annoying. Like, I did not like Tom Green when I was 12, and turns out nowadays, I still don't really like Tom Green all that much.
Well, I'm internally 12, and I like him, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, like, the thing is, like, the backwards man thing is one of the things. That and the, like, sausage keyboard bit, where it's just like,
Daddy, like some sausage?
Yeah, see, there's something about that where it's just like, I really hope this person has gotten their fucking shit together, and then they walk in on them doing the dumbest fucking thing in the world. You guys, that was me in my early 20s, okay? That was, I feel, I get it, you know? I'm not good at holding a job either. I also have extreme ADHD. I too found a beautiful woman who will accept me for all of my fucking flaws. I feel something. But there's so many little segments that are just like, I'm laughing because I would do this. The backwards man is one of them. Just wearing a suit like the wrong way around and walking back and forth at a mirror saying the backwards man, I can go backwards fast as you can. That's the funniest fucking thing in the world to me. I'm broken. It's okay, I accept it. But I think for me, like, I get that it is just stupid humor. It's not very harmful stupid humor as far as it can go. Like, here's the thing. The really problematically vocal person in here is not glorified in any way. His father's the only one who uses, like, some
Brie,
of the...
Brie, yeah. Pause. Tom Green still wrote this movie.
Yeah.
Regardless of what character it is that is saying the things
in this
movie.
I'm taking it as his vision. I'm watching the Odyssey that he created, and I'm saying, if you're watching this film, the character, let me explain myself. The character that is his father, who is the only one who uses, like, the F slur, the R slur, this guy who's being, like, really shitty. None of those are punchlines. This guy sucks. You know, it's basically, like, this guy is not being
objection.
Made up to be, like,
objection.
Yeah, well, I think Evie is allowed an objection. Let Evie object.
You get one.
No, don't say fuck that.
No one's letting me talk today. I'm like the one person standing in defense.
You talk the most.
I am not. I keep getting interrupted. I'm trying to fucking explain myself.
Okay,
go ahead.
I'm gonna make my objection, then you can talk as much as you want. Betty also uses the R slur. She says, "I'm not R slur."
Yeah.
Well, because she's being called that for being a paraplegic by his shitty father, who does not know what the hell he's talking about, and she's saying, "Don't call me that." That's different. That's not, I'm saying this for shock humor. Like, that, I'm saying from a character point of view, that's not...
But at the end of the day, regardless of the character's intentions or not, the purpose of that scene is for shock.
Also, I read it as his father sucks. Like, it's painted as
his,
like,
dad
a shitty
fucking
human
sucks.
Being. That's character development in, like, the bad way of, like, we're showing how much this guy is just a shitty person.
Evie. Also, the core of the plot is the main character falsely accusing his father of sexually assaulting his brother.
Uh-huh.
Tom Green is not a good character in this movie either. He falsely accuses his dad of sexual assault.
And that's what makes it so fascinating.
Like, you can't give me, like, the moral... You can't give moral high ground to Tom Green in this movie because he also does an equally despicable fucking thing. One could argue probably worse than what the dad does.
Also, I don't think that there's anything in this film that ranks anywhere near, like, what makes films like this, like, date like shit. You know what I mean? There's much, much worse egregious things that I'm like, I never want to rewatch, like, films that were being this level of stuff back then that were doing this kind of thing.
I'm, like, middle of the road on what you're saying there.
Can we talk about the child being hurt? The best ongoing joke in the movie, which you're wrong. The best joke in this movie is the ongoing saga of this child being hurt.
The shit kid who's just in there to get maimed is one of my favorite
kids. He's just
G Willikers, mister.
He's the innocent little lollipop holding, like, beanie hat otherwise wearing kid who's just, I'm here to get hurt. Oh no! The fucking Mr. Bill of this whole thing, who's just, when he shows up, you're like, oh man, how's he gonna get hurt now? And watching a child get maimed is really funny. I found out watching this for the first time. And it's still funny now.
I don't know. For me, that one, that kind of rolls back into the, like, how much of this movie is actually still shocking.
Uh-huh.
A big part of, like, why that part of the movie is so funny is because it's fucking shocking.
Yeah.
Like, you see a kid, like, just eat shit. You see a kid get hit in the face with a baseball and, like, his teeth are, like, falling out and bloody and everything. Like, it's kind of shocking, the violence that they inflict on this child. And watching it the second time, I was kind
of
like,
yeah, the only part of that bit that holds up the second time for me is, like, at the end, like, the clearly ADR dialogue where he's just like, I'm fine, daddy, I'm still
my understanding
fine.
Is they had to put that in there to keep it from being an NC-17 movie.
Oh yeah,
was they had to make it clear that he didn't, even though he obviously died.
Well, it's even more
died.
Funny because he's, like, clearly chopped up into bits and his blood sprays
all over the entire crowd.
Like, to explain what happens, because we didn't even talk about, like, how he gets hurt in that last scene. He's by airplane propellers, and he, like an idiot, like, runs over to them and gets chopped up. We don't get to see the chopping up. We just see a bucket of red corn syrup get thrown onto the audience with the ADR line of, I'm okay, I'm okay. Like,
now that's funny.
Part, yes, yeah. That part is still very funny, but, like, the rest of the kid getting hurt, like, outside of the shock value of it, like, it didn't hit me in the same way. Like, that's like the biggest detriment to me about this movie is, like, on a second viewing, the magic has been lost for me on the second viewing. Like, there's a wonder and a shock and awe to seeing that film for the first time, which I'll give it that much, at the very least, is for something that is, like, come out, like, after years of, like, the Jackass movies and just seeing, like, the wildest shit that you could, like, on the internet through, like, shock websites and things of that nature. Seeing this film in 2024 for the first time is still fucked up.
Yeah.
You watch that movie and, like, Jesus fucking Christ, what are you doing? Why is any of this happening? Then you go back to it and it's like, eh.
Yeah, and I think, like, part of, like, the magic for that is that, like, there's the stuff that's, like, obviously shocking, like the stuff with, like, the horse dicks and, you know, like,
swinging a baby around.
Yeah, but, like, it's also stuff like the backwards man, where, like, it's happening while his, like, dad is, like, grumbling about how much he fucking hates him, and it's just like, why the fuck are you doing that? Like, it's just like, we see, like, his persona is part of the shock, and, like, and I think that's, like, that helps it a lot.
And it definitely lends credence, Bree, to, like, the thing that you're talking about of, like, this movie, like, being ADHD, like, neurodivergent, like, strongly neurodivergent coded, because I think at times, like, I don't feel it as strongly as you do, probably, but there are probably times in many of our lives where, like, we are just stuck on a thing, and everyone around us who is, like, more normal, in quotes, is like, why the fuck are you doing this? Or why is this a thing that you're into? Or something like that. And you're just like, I just think it's neat.
Yeah, and my parents thought I was a fucking failure. So it was kind of like that same sort of feeling of like, I'm just having a good time. What's wrong with you?
Sometimes you're just laughing hysterically at barf balls.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. Listen, if I can laugh at barf balls, if I can laugh at like a dumb fucking YTP, who's laughing and enjoying life and having a good time? Me. Who's being a pissant, whiny, angry motherfucker who's giving himself a heart attack over time? My father. So like, who's winning here? You know what I mean? I'm having a good time. It's representative of being yourself.
Me watching South Park.
No, South Park isn't good.
So here's part of the thing that I kind of want to, because I don't know that we have anything else to actually say about, like, things that happen in the... Oh, Evie has something to say. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna... Well, one, I just want to say, as someone who also has ADHD, like, inattentive type, and it's just like, I wish I could feel the representation that Brie feels in this movie, because just like, you know, I'm... Just like I want to like claw at the walls during the parts of this movie that don't work.
Like a whimpering puppy.
More like a prisoner who hasn't seen sunlight in 30 years.
I'm right there with the AV.
But I was gonna say about the movie itself is just like Rip Torn is so good in this movie.
No,
even as
he's
just playing like an awful person, is just like he is like. This is like a showcase film for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, best characters in the movie are Rip Torn and Tom Green's girlfriend in it, like, 100% for sure. Like,
oh, yeah.
paraplegic woman who, like, gets off on, like, having her legs, like, just beaten to shit with, like, bamboo sticks and, like, riding crops and the like, and just really, really wants to suck dick. But also wants to be a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
The two genders.
And succeeds at both, really.
She does succeed at both. And she's the one that ends up inspiring Tom Green to, like, really, really go in on the cartoon thing.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's much more for us to talk about, like, in the actual film.
No, it's the kind of film that you need to, like, actually experience, because to try and describe it would take all of the magic out of it.
So, on that note, I think the only other thing to talk about is the fact that this movie got made in the first fucking place, like,
yes.
At all. So, the most admirable part of this movie is... how much you can tell that this was a kid that got, like, handed the keys to a candy store.
Yeah.
Like, a movie studio gave Tom Green $2 million and said, yeah, we like the cut of your jib. They saw him, like, in the butt suit, like, rubbing his butt on poles and was like, this guy's definitely got something up his sleeve that the kids love.
Yeah.
We gotta cash in while we can on that. And he made this fucking movie, this piece of dog shit nonsense that, like, people were walking out of because within the first 10 minutes he's jacking off a horse for basically no reason.
The investment
camera.
In him is kind of lightly played too, and like the investment in like what he represents with the car from his father initially, the buying of his cartoon later, where it's like all these little nods of, remember when you gave me a ton of money to just do whatever,
like,
I wanted?
Red Letter Media had a review of this movie where, like, one of them is like on the fence about whether or not this movie is meta commentary. This movie is 100% meta commentary.
Yes.
That's the smartest thing about this movie, is like, this is Tom Green basically saying, I'm going to make a movie about the fact that I'm getting to make a movie like this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. Like, it literally ends with a, like, executive writing $1 million check for him and being like, no, yeah, that shit you did was, that shit with your dad coming in here and, like, throwing you through a wall? That was insane.
That was the best thing I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it. Here's a bunch of money.
Also, the executive, like, clearly doesn't believe that was his dad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, essentially not, like, almost being metaphorical of, like, executives misunderstanding, like, what it is that people are, like, liking about this, or like what the deal is. Just like, no, yeah, that was genius what you did there. And it's like, no, what I did was fucking stupid. I rubbed my butt on a pole and MTV put me on television. That is what I did, and that is what this movie is him being like, it's fucking crazy that any of this has happened.
Yeah, the last thing that Tom Green says in this movie is, what the fuck, like, what am I doing? Like, during the bloopers, like, as the credits are rolling, where he's, like, getting up from the deer guts part, like, as they're filming that, and he's just like, what am I doing?
Yeah, why am I doing this? Yeah.
And, but the shame about it is that, like, after you've already watched the movie once with that context in mind, you realize that you still have to watch the movie. Like, the ultimate joke is the movie in and of itself. So, like, at this point, I feel like I can never, having watched it two times now, I don't think I can watch Freddy Got Fingered again and find any enjoyment in it. I guess... Is this final thoughts? Does anyone have things of import to say about, like, the rest of the movie? Is this going to be our shortest episode?
That would be very funny.
Basically, yeah. So my final thoughts are, this is secretly brilliant. I love the fact that it is the greatest fucking prank ever pulled on being given money for being an idiot, for, you know, just getting to basically utilize that, but then playing off of that and having a million things that still somehow are hilarious to me. I think that I would rate this at least 3 stars and 2 popcorns. And I love it. It's still a good time for me. I don't need to see it more than once a year. Probably won't see it for the next couple of years. But this year I've seen it twice, and each time I laughed. So,
Bridget, we're winding down on final thoughts. Is there anything of, like, actual, like, note in the movie that you want to, like, touch on?
She has to go last because it's her turn next.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, if she has any, like, thoughts about just random things in the movie that we've skipped over.
I want to note, looking at the IMDb, that remember the scene where the brother is watching, like, surgery?
Yes.
It is apparently real life footage of Tom Green having a lymph node removed due to testicular cancer.
God, and he makes everyone look at his balls.
So that...
Wow.
That plays into what essentially my final thought for this movie is going to be. Is like, I don't think I can watch this movie again and find any enjoyment. This is a movie that I need to, like, just put into, like, a display case or, like, a frame and just put it on the wall. And just be like, it's amazing that that thing got made and got released into theaters. I'm never going to watch that again. Like, the fact that his brother gets sent to, like, the Institute for Molested Children. His 25-year-old brother gets sent to the Institute for Molested Children, and they're watching the Texas Chainsaw Massacre on the TV in that facility for some reason. I don't know what the reason is, but they are.
The thing that I take from this all is very much something that Bo Burnham has talked about, how, like, with comedy, it's like, when you don't have time to process what you're laughing at, you don't really have the time to, like, pick apart everything that's wrong with the fact that you're laughing at it. You just have this knee-jerk reaction of, like, not really knowing how to respond to it, and that ends up in laughter. And there's a lot of stuff in here that, like, perhaps even still seeing it a second time, I'm just remembering the having that sprung on me and the humor that came from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know, it's very much that. The things in here that are a bit more kind of shock value-y are, like, it happened so quick. it happened so fucking fast, and I wasn't ready for it, and thus is... we all fucking laughed the first time I saw it.
Oh, sure. I'm not gonna try to argue that I didn't laugh.
Like, it's really fucking fascinating how this film plays with that. Great film. I give it 3 stars and 2 popcorns.
Evie, what's your final thoughts on this film?
I don't have anything new to say. I think I was trying to figure out if there was anything else I wanted to mention. There's like Harlan Williams is in this movie, and it seems like it's weird how he's in this movie, and then like he tries to have like a spinoff career basically just doing Tom Green shtick of being like an annoying jerk, and then that goes nowhere. Which is interesting because he kind of plays like a straight man in this film who just like gets, you know, knocked around a whole lot. Also, Shaquille O'Neal is in this movie playing
for a split second.
Yeah, for like a minute, like being like Tom's mom's boyfriend, essentially.
She was shacking up with him.
The French. It's like a
French champagne.
I'm just fine not watching this movie ever again.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then with that, as the person who's suggesting the next movie, Bridget,
acknowledging all of the meta level of it being like smart in a way that the rest of this movie is very dumb.
Yes.
All right. Credit given. Sorry for interrupting.
No, you're good. Bridget, what are your final thoughts on Freddy Got Fingered?
Two things. Just have been looking at the trivia on IMDb. One is apparently this was shot to Disney first, which the idea of Disney releasing this movie would have been extraordinarily funny.
This is
that
really
in itself is a joke.
Yeah, yes. That is bringing me to, like, the joke that, like, Insane Clown Posse sent their stuff to the original Radio Disney, Radio Oz. I know this factoid from the person who recorded my first punk album. Basically, what happened was they were saying, wouldn't it be funny if we just sent this album that we made for our therapy session, like, to Disney and see what would happen? Just because, you know, they'll hear it and be like, it's stupid. That'll be funny. And they're signing people left and right, just going, we need to get people on Radio Oz. We need to get people on this Disney radio. And they're just saying, oh, something about like crazy clowns. Oh, a party, a bunch of wacky clowns. Sure, I'll sign them. Not listening to their work at all. And then like, apparently, like, Michael Eisner comes in, heads are rolling. He's like, who the fuck signed these people talking about cutting bitches' heads off? As much as I don't like their music, I respect their fucking hustle. They immediately go, so wait a minute, you did sign us a contract that says that you work for us and we have some level of ownership of this particular deal. So they were basically the only people to ever successfully sue Disney. It's really fucking funny.
And that was the Juggalo Minute, brought to you by Bree.
Hey, I had a dark past. All right, well, hey.
Bridget still hasn't finished her final thoughts.
The other thing is, apparently Tom Green did, in fact, touch the horse penis.
For real.
And apparently no studio executives were present on the day of filming that.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is less trivia and more like an assumed fact when I watch that scene.
This movie has 2 taglines. Can you guess them?
No.
The first one is, this time you can't change the channel.
But you sure can walk out of the theater.
I sure did.
The other tagline is, a touching story of a young man who desperately wants to make his daddy proud.
It's not that.
Yeah. Both of those are true statements. Bridget, where are you taking us?
Well, as always, I went through a bunch of ideas and concepts. It's a little disappointing for me, because if we were just a little bit longer, I'd have at least 3 different anime movies to pick from that just came out. But I've decided because Bree picked Freddy Got Finger, I am not going to pick Congo, at least right now.
Okay.
Were you dreading that possibility?
Kinda. Because then this would have all turned to violence at that point.
We've almost lasted how many months?
Yeah, I wouldn't want us to have a dark fate like that, so we're going to Terminator Dark Fate.
Yay!
Which is
fun action movie!
Which is connected through two people. One, for some reason, they have the same accountant. Christy Crystal, which is a name, Christy Crystal.
Two very different investments were made.
And David Lucariali, who is on the same sound department role. So, yeah, we're going to watch 2019's sequel to Terminator 2.
Not a sequel to Terminator 3, or to Terminator Salvation, or to Terminator Genesis. It's a sequel to specifically Terminator 2.
Terminator 2.
Even though Terminator 3 was already a sequel to Terminator 2.
This is the sequel to Terminator 2, the prequel to Terminator 3.
It's Terminator 2-2.
Two and a half.
Well, no.
Dream drop distance.
Well, none of those other Terminators can happen because of what happens in Terminator 2.
Chronologically speaking, it's a little contrived.
I'm looking forward to this. This was not...
There is at least one thing that happens in the movie that connects this and Freddy Got Fingered.
I see. I'll say, this is not the first Terminator movie I expected us to talk about on this podcast. This is not the one I figured would come up on the docket first. But, Bridget, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitch normally at Sasquatchulous. Also have a YouTube VOD. Also have a Blue Sky if you want to see my announcements and art and porn. And also, this episode might be up, will probably be up before then, but I was on the Greatest Movie Ever podcast and talking about Santa Claus, the movie.
Santa Claus?
No. This Santa Claus is the Tim Allen movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is Santa Claus the movie, the one with Christmas 2 and exploding candy canes.
All right.
Yes.
That should be out in December for Christmas time. Yay.
Woo! Evie, where can people find you on the internet?
Kind of nowhere. Just like, I'm on other people's streams or whatever. Don't worry about it.
I'm similarly considering burning down the internet, but for the time being, you can find me over on Easy Breezy TV. That's EazyBreezy TV. That's on Twitch. That's my handle. You can also find with that particular name and spelling on Geosites. You can find me there with all my links to my art, my stickers, my lewds, etc. And I also stream live on Wife City video games with my dear partner here, Jay.
That's me.
And Jay, where can they find you?
I'm not going to tell people where they can find me. They can find the podcast at putonthelist.neocities.org, putonthelist.bsky.social. Anywhere major podcasts are sold, you can find us there. But for now, this has been an experience that I think everyone...
You should watch this movie. Everyone go watch this movie at least once. Everyone watch this movie once.
Don't watch this movie.
I'm with Bree. I never really got to say, but I do think this is a good movie. Go watch it.
I was so berated this whole time.
And then suddenly you had an agreement right at the end. The ultimate punchline.
Okay, half of us say go see it. Half is a failing grade, which means you should do it. Go watch this film once.
Average.
I didn't berate anyone. I want to say I didn't berate a single person on this podcast, other than Tom Green.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
What reviews connected by cast or crew deciding the next film? That's the gist. Put it on the list.